welcome to the Meeting Three Leadership Podcast. If it's your first time to the table, welcome, welcome. Glad that you decided to join us. Pull up a seat, grab a plate, make yourself at home. And I hope you brought your appetite because you know how we do it in the Carolinas. We eat good around here. The investment is doable and the portions are generous. So if you leave hungry, that's on you. Episode 20 of the Meeting Three Leadership Podcast is upon us, and I am very thankful to report that the weather is dropping. It is getting colder, and that can only mean one thing and one thing only. Basketball season is finally fully here. And I think in the most appropriate way, that I could display the start of basketball season, especially here in the Carolinas, than to interview a legend in the game of basketball, especially in the state of South Carolina. I'm very thankful to have gotten some time with the legendary coach, Bailey Harris, from Lexington High School. He is a dear friend of mine. Obviously, I've seen him on the basketball court, but as you'll hear in this podcast, we cross paths in numerous other playing arenas. And what was just great about Coach is just his genuineness. He's somebody who has a lot of influence and has had a lot of impact over the years on a lot of people, and I'm thankful, to be one of those people that he impacted, even from a distance. You know, we would have conversations every now and then, but, just especially our friendship, being out of time or being away from North Augusta, we've definitely had a lot more conversations. We obviously don't see each other as frequently as we did when I was in high school, but social media is a great thing, and I get to follow his journey, and he gets to do the same. So I'm glad to be able to steal a little bit of time with him while I was in Columbia recently and be able to just kind of pick his brain on some leadership things and some things about his journey. So obviously a lot of it was recorded and some of it was not, but thankful to be able to share with you this portion of the podcast with Coach. So please welcome to the table, Coach Bailey Harris. Coach Bailey Harris, welcome to the podcast. How are you doing?
Doing great. Glad to be here. Probably sit down and talk old school North Augusta Lexington hoops for a long time here, so this should be fun.
You know, I'm really glad that I've started to master this, talking beforehand and, capturing a little bit. It gives me a frame of reference of things to talk about. Obviously, among the things we've already discussed off the record is the 1999 state championship or state tournament where your Lexington Wildcats defeated North Augusta in the upper state finals.
I think it was actually lower.
Okay, lower state,
It keeps going back and forth.
Sure.
It actually probably was upper back.
But
then.
It was the game before state championship, but two games that live on in two separate programs. History, one as the one that got away in North Augusta, because that was the 25 or 26 and 2 year. And then one of the many state championships for Lexington High School. So, but bringing it closer to home, we've obviously crossed paths in numerous occasions because of the rivalry. But as is customary with the podcast, I have to ask you first question. Do you remember the first time we met?
Several things come to mind. You were the skinny guy with goggles that could jump out of the gym.
Mm-hmm.
I remember you from a basketball perspective, even when you were freshman, sophomore, watching you play. I remember you in cross country lining up against, you're talking about an odd look at the start line. this 6'3" black guy lined up against a bunch of 5'2" mm-hmm. white kids. Yep. It was kind of a strange look down at Riverview Park one time. Very distinctly remember because both of my sons were in the race.
You're one of the few people that have seen me probably on all three playing surfaces in high school.
And then another one I actually got to know a little more who you were. Track meet, and I remember a kid from Lexington on the bus on the way back saying something about, the guy from North Augusta, he's a really nice guy. I said, who you're talking about. They, you know, the guy with the goggles, and they knew remembered you from basketball, and it was somebody that had competed against you in high jump, and they're like, he's just a really nice guy. And so I got to know you a little bit over the years, and then had the pleasure of getting to select you and coach you in the North Carolina South Carolina All-Star game, and obviously you together for 3 days there and got to know you a little more, and I've tried to stay in touch with you and follow your moves ever since then.
I'm actually convinced, looking back on that North Carolina South Carolina experience, that playing in your system or under your guidance has some sort of cheat code to it, because if you recall, I hit 4 threes that game. I don't think I've ever hit 4 threes in a game, Coach. But that's just that was.
I remember you playing really well, and we lost a close one.
Yeah, we
I think did. Murphy Holloway was probably the best player in the game, and he had a terrible game. Missed shots that he would normally make in his sleep, and then
he was too busy giving us business in practice.
Yeah, cause he was really good. And then I don't know if you know it or not, but we lost out on AJ Green, who was initially on the roster, then ended up going to Georgia's spring game, and we had to replace him late, and that probably really personnel wise really cost us.
But we fought that game.
Yeah, it was to the wire.
That was good.
So. But it was a lot of fun, and like I say, you get to know players a little better in that situation.
Yeah, most definitely.
I know y'all forge relationships as players, but then as a coach, you also get to hang out with players and coaches from other teams that you stay in touch with.
Mm-hmm. So, for somebody who has probably not met you before, how would you introduce yourself?
Ooh, I'm Coach Harris, just because that's what I go by. I don't know. If I got to introduce myself on Twitter, I'd start with I'm a firm believer in my faith, a child of the Lord, family man who loves basketball and about all things athletics.
Yeah, that's good. Obviously, one of the things that you've already mentioned is just all of the arenas that where you are within sports and coaching, and people obviously know you as Coach Harris. Where did that desire to coach start from?
Wow, I didn't go to college thinking I was going to be a coach. Wasn't real sure what I was going to do. I mean, when I was growing up, I wanted to be a professional athlete, and I think probably about 10th grade that set in. That wasn't going to happen. I got to Presbyterian College and was playing basketball under Butch Estes and Greg Nybert there. And wasn't quite as good as I thought I was, I guess, or couldn't quite adapt to the system. I was more of a scoring point guard than a setup point guard, and it just wasn't a great fit for me. Wasn't sure exactly what I wanted to do, kind of that time in life, and you got to try to figure out what you want to major in, what you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going to transfer, probably give up basketball. Wasn't real sure what I was going to do. And Coach Estes asked me to stick around and work with the team some. So I spent 1 year just like keeping stats, doing some little stuff like that. And I don't know if he saw something in me or just needed some help desperately, but asked me to be a student assistant my last 2 years.
Mm.
And really back in that day, you only had one assistant. Greg Nybert was his only assistant. So I was actually the second assistant. So I got a lot of duties and responsibilities. I got to go on the road recruiting, scouting, handle some things at practice. So I really got a lot of responsibilities and stuff in, and really just got hooked on coaching at that point. There was no question.
What would you say is probably one of the things that you enjoy the most in regards to coaching?
That I enjoy the most? Mm-hmm. Relationships. And I think that's probably a key to being able to be successful, but success or not is the best part of it. When I look back on it, and having to recently retire from the basketball part of it, I was like, it's kind of, I don't know if it's strange or weird or odd, but my best friends are all like former players.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't my best friends while they were playing for me by any stretch. But, you know, guys like Brett Jones, that's the coach at Dutch Fork, and Thomas Ryan at Dorman, and Ben Lee at River Bluff, and Devin Lifridge at White Knoll, those guys are all former players for me. And, those are probably my best friends in life, those guys that you've built relationships with, or your assistant coaches.
Yeah, Absolutely. You have quite the coaching tree, especially around South Carolina. Those names that you just mentioned, I mean, those are some big time names and some big time schools. Obviously, when you get into coaching, you know, knowing you the way that I know you, you know, you are a person of impact and obviously a person of influence that just uses their platform. I would ask, over the course of your coaching career, what maybe is something that you have learned from either your players while you were coaching them or even after the fact? Because a lot of times, you know, they will talk about things that they learned from you, but, you know, my dad being a coach currently as well, you know, he'll talk about things that he's learned. But I'm curious, you know, what are maybe some things that you've learned from your players?
One thing that really sticks out in my head, the 96 team that won a state championship and then was runner-up in 97, probably definitely one of the best groups we've ever had, Derek Leifridge. Mm-hmm. I had three Leifridge brothers that all played for me. Derek was the middle one, and they can argue about who was the best, but Derek was the middle one.
Sure.
And if you've been in my practices or been around me, I can be loud and I can be very sarcastic. Mm-hmm. And Derek did not respond well to sarcasm, mm-hmm. or kind of a, you know, cutting kind, mm-hmm. of, you know, when you're a sarcastic person, you're more intended as humor sometimes.
Sure.
Derek didn't take it well, and we talked one time while he was a player, and I had to change the way I approached Derek and the way I talked to him and the way I corrected him. Mm-hmm. And from that point on, it made me aware that I need to make sure, you know, everybody, you don't coach. I learned that you don't coach everybody the same way. Mm-hmm. You treat everybody fair, but that doesn't mean you treat them the same way. Some, mm-hmm. players can respond better to being ridden hard.
Yep.
Some can't take it. Mm-hmm. And you've got to be fair, and you got to be careful not to treat anybody, you know, special or different. But you do treat people differently, and I learned that from Derek, and definitely helped me as a coach. Derek's a minister now in the, mm-hmm. Lexington community, and I think I continue to learn from my guys because I'm always trying to bounce things off of them from a professional standpoint, basketball-wise, because, mm-hmm. they've always been very helpful with that. But how to treat people, I think, with Derek, I really learned that.
You right now are, you know, basically coaching coaches, so you're still coaching, you know, cross-country, but you're also kind of in a role where you are coaching coaches. What would you say is probably one of the biggest needs in serving the coaching community?
I've tried to approach this at Ben Lippin where I haven't gotten to meet with all the coaches, but the ones I meet with, I'm trying to meet with them and find out, you know, what their challenges are as a coach. And it's not the same. You'd think, you know, I wasn't sure, you know, like, you know, is there a certain concern or issue that they have because they're at Ben Lippin or because they're, you know, at Lexington or another, mm-hmm. school. But honestly, the coaches I've met with, everybody's, you know, a little different challenge. Mm-hmm. And probably partly because of what they bring to the table and maybe the kids and the parents and whatnot that they're dealing with. So I'm just trying to find out what their biggest challenges are, what their biggest obstacles, and then any way that I can help them moving forward with that. Not that, you know, I've got all the, and I definitely won't approach it with this, not that I've got all the answers, but
sure.
I've been there and done a lot of this before. You know, how can I help you? Like, I'm, you know, I talked with Matt Padgett, the baseball coach, who's, mm-hmm. a two-sport star at Clemson and, mm-hmm. Was a great athlete at Lexington, so I knew him growing up. I'm like, you know, Matt, I can't help you a lick with baseball, you know, but how can I help you with your players maybe off the field, around, mm-hmm. the field? You know, I've met with a cross country and track coach and enjoyed talking shop and training, and mm-hmm. You know, we're picking each other's brains on workouts, and you know, a lot of it today though is, you know, how you handle parents and communication, mm-hmm. with your players and, mm-hmm. parents, I think, is probably one of the biggest things to get across. And Ben Lippin is definitely a special place in that they want God's word, mm-hmm. you know, coming through loud and clear to their athletes, and they want to make sure their coaches are doing that, and that's a great thing. That's probably the biggest reason I'm here.
That's awesome. Well, I've told you, or I may not have told you, but I love being able to actually say this on record if I haven't told you. I have always appreciated how you handled yourself, and I'm glad that we are able to finally make this connection. I reached out to you, it's been months ago, about trying to get you for the podcast, but mainly because you are somebody who I do respect very highly, and I've just definitely seen how you carry yourself and how you are. I mean, you're one of those pillars of legacy that I think about when I think of South Carolina basketball. So thank you in terms of that. But I am curious, who are some of the people who you would say made the best or one of the biggest impacts in your life?
Ooh, tons of those. And it's one of my points when I'm talking with coaches about their significance. I was doing a little clinic for upward basketball coaches this mm-hmm. past weekend. I'm like, don't think that you're not significant. You're coaching 6 and 7 year old kids in basketball. You're going to do things and say things they're going to remember the rest of their life. You won't remember it next week. But mm-hmm. One of the biggest influences on me was my defensive coordinator that I played for in high school football. I played for him 1 year, my senior year in high school. Mm-hmm. And that was 40 years ago. I still get probably an email every other day from him.
Wow.
Every time he sees me, he wants to know how he can, who he can pray for in my family, what mm-hmm. I need praying for. Came to a couple of basketball games this year. He found out I was going to retire from teaching. He decides that he wants to come watch me teach.
Mm.
I was really nervous for that one. So here's this guy who's been a college professor later in life. He's taught, he's written 5 or 6 books, and mm-hmm. and I've never been nervous teaching it. I was really pretty nervous when Coach Cerny came and sat in my class. Goes, he huge impact on me. He was an assistant sure. defensive coach at a single A school,
mm-hmm.
but continues to be an impact on my high school basketball coach, Joey Reed, who was on my staff for the last 16 years. It was mm-hmm. a huge impact. I think your high school coaches are just such big impacts on you. Yeah. And then I was very blessed to Butch Estes, phenomenal basketball mind, and Greg Nybert.
Mm-hmm.
I worked at Furman with Al Daniel and Jimmy Gaffney. I'm just around some really good basketball minds early. Mm-hmm. And then got to be around Cali Galt at Presbyterian College, mm-hmm. North Augusta guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't play football, but Coach Galt was one of those that he's in the Hall of Fame because of how he treated people
mm-hmm.
and the kind of person he was. And I watched him. He was also a member of the same church I went to. My dad was a pastor there.
Okay.
And so I got to see Coach Galt outside the lines and in the athletic department and just how to treat people.
Yeah.
Was such a good guy. And then he had the pleasure to work with Jimmy Satterfield. It was two South Carolina icons that have recently passed away here. And mm-hmm. Coach Satterfield at Furman and then again at Lexington were guys that just, I mean, they're great coaches, but they just really knew how to treat people the right mm-hmm. way for the right reasons.
That's awesome. Maybe from people or books or anything, what's something you've been learning lately? I know a coach and a teacher never stops learning, so what you been learning?
I was at a continuing ed today for U.S. history. I'm not even teaching this year, and I went to a U.S. history seminar this morning on Reconstruction of the Civil War. I'm just a U.S. history junkie, so I was at that. The one thing that I do know that I am trying to do a better job of is reading, because mm-hmm. That's something that I don't do a good enough job. It's one of my areas to improve. I've been going back through the 3D coaching book.
Yeah,
I think that's something that we're going to try to implement with our coaches here at Ben Lippin. Mm-hmm. And so I've been going back through and reading through the 3D coaching book. And
it's a great book.
I've done it before and been through the study before, but mm-hmm. just needed to kind of reread and go back through that. And then another book called Teammates Matter.
Okay.
That I think we're going to probably use with the basketball team here. Just so kids can kind of understand that value of being a teammate. And all that's in a Christ-centered mm-hmm. framework. So those are good.
Did you, as a coach, when you were coaching for, especially for basketball, and obviously I'm not necessarily as sure with cross country or track, but basketball, because it is definitely more of a team sport, did you ever take moments like that and, you know, just intentionally build teamwork or have teamwork exercises or things like that? Or did you just kind of
emphasize it
within the course of what you were already doing?
Try to do it as a built-in. The one thing that I learned really early on was that the thing that, because I always did a senior exit exams, the thing that kids have like the most, and 20 years later when they come back, the things they remember the most are things they did with their teammates. Mm-hmm. And so I was not one, you know, we didn't go do ropes courses or things like that. Sure. But going to team camp, mm-hmm. spending the night there, even if it was like we're going to go to a one-day team camp down at College of Charleston, but hey, we're going to go to the beach too. Mm-hmm. We're going to go out to eat. We've always tried to one of our traditions that we established very early at Lexington was taking some really good Christmas tournament trips, too.
That is true. And I have noticed that as well.
Yeah, we've been to, we've been to San Diego twice, been to Las Vegas, the Bahamas. Mm-hmm. High school basketball in the Bahamas, you can't go wrong there.
I can't imagine.
I think we played 10 times in Florida.
Yeah.
But going to fun places mm-hmm. and hanging out. I mean, what's better than hanging out with your teammates, playing basketball, and then, you know, doing some sightseeing, mm-hmm. travel, you know, play football on the beach, mm-hmm. go snorkeling. You know, we took a group to the Grand Canyon, you know, stuff like that. And that's what I found that kids, I think it bonds your team, definitely. Mm-hmm. And so that I've tried to use those kind of things as team building. And then it's also the things that, you know, when kids come back 20 years later, that's what they're talking about is, you know, hey, coach, remember that trip when we went to, you know, mm-hmm. we went to Florida and,
That is true. You know,
that's what they remember. And my cross-country kids are the same way. Yeah. We do a trip where we go down to run at James Island. We rent beach house and stay for the weekend. And mm-hmm. You know, those are the things that kids enjoy the most. I take them down to my house at the Edisto River, not at the beach, but Edisto River, and we do a training weekend. And those mm-hmm. that's the stuff they like. Hang out with your teammates and be real. And you get to know your kids better that way, too.
It is very true.
And they see you. And there's mm-hmm. no fake or phony to that. They get to see you and mm-hmm. your family and who you are. So
that's
something that I know I'll miss from basketball for sure.
From a team chemistry, team unity standpoint, I've definitely got to ask because I don't think I've ever gotten an answer from this. The Lexington slide, was that your idea or was that
no? Like any good coach, I stole that. I don't have anything original. No, we played in beach ball tournament December '95.
Okay.
We played Kobe Bryant.
Okay.
And Kobe Bryant's team, Lower Merriam, they do this slide before the game. I'm like, okay. And I'm talking to their coach afterwards, and he's like, well, I just want to set the tone that we're going to dive on the floor for every loose ball. And I'm like, I like it.
Yeah.
I said, y'all head on back to Pennsylvania, and when y'all leave, that's ours. I mean, we've done it every game since. I think I did put a team on probation one year and didn't let them do it.
Really?
For a game or two. Because
they didn't mean it.
They didn't mean it.
Wow.
But that's been, since...
It was just for show. They weren't actually doing it in the game.
Since January of 96, been doing that. And we came off of beach ball and won 19 in a row and won the state championship. So that didn't hurt my feelings.
Sure.
We're going to continue this.
Sure.
And it, you know, I've had to... You've got certain groups that, I don't want to say agitators, but, you know, every now and then you'll have a group that wants to, like, you know... do that and kind of slide into the other team's bench or warm ups. Yeah. Like, nah, we can't do that. We got to keep it on the level there. But for the most part, it's you know, you get a lot of opposing fans that like to kind of make fun of it or mock it, or but that's, you know what you know what they say about imitation. It's the highest form of flattery. So we'll take it
for sure. Well,
it'd be a little odd to see Lexington not doing that this year. That's for sure, because it's been 20 plus years.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I stole that one from Kobe's coach.
Okay. See, I didn't even know that. That's really interesting. Yeah. So that's
he was pretty fair.
There you go. So I really appreciated the time, appreciated just all the insight. I guess final thought or final question, if you will. You know, you're somebody who is, you know, have left a huge impact with basketball. Not just here in South Carolina, but I would definitely tend to say just in the game in general, just from the amount of places where, for lack of a better term, your coaching tree has expanded out to, from coaches to athletes to just people you have touched through the game and just through your life in general. If you had a say-so of what's the one thing you want to be remembered by or remembered as, what would you want somebody to know about Coach Harris?
If somebody was reflecting, I would want them to know my definite priority is that I'm a child of God and doing what I can do to follow the Lord and be a good family man.
Awesome.
And then hopefully everything else falls in place after that.
I can definitely be attest to knowing that and being thankful of that in you. So,
Coach, appreciate it.
Really appreciate your time.
Thanks, bye. Appreciate it.
That about wraps it up for this week's episode of the Meeting 3 Leadership Podcast. Big thanks to Coach Bailey Harris. Very, very, very thankful for him. As I mentioned in the episode, just thankful for his influence and his impact. And he has meant a lot to the game of basketball and really just to the culture of athletics within the state of South Carolina. I know there are a lot of people who would echo that, and it was good to be able to get some context on some different things. I think probably one of my favorite things was hearing that story about the Lexington slide. I've never actually asked him, but it was just a staple of his teams, and it's interesting to hear where he got it from. So but man, talk about a legacy. God, he continues to leave a legacy just when his interactions. And like I said, I was thankful to be able to grab some time with him, but excited, that, podcast is back rolling. Thank you so much for listening. If there was something that stood out in this episode, please, by all means, shoot me a message. Follow me on social media, BeNice21. Let me know what you think. Let me know who I should interview next. Until next time, y'all take care. God bless. Have a good one.